Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast, number 47. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Shlomo, how's it going?
I'm good. Big week coming on, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. How you been doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, I was kind of joking to myself and some friends the other day. I think you're going to experience that too. But as a dad, yeah, I've always kind of like tried to avoid becoming an English teacher in China. You know, I don't know, a lot of times people can use that for money, but I haven't really done that. But now I have my kids. I'm the only English speaker at my house, and my wife and everyone is really encouraging me to be more active teacher to my kids. So I've been feeling like an English teacher lately, reading books and everything. So
you're doing classes?
Yeah, and there's neighbors that are coming by, and they're sitting next to. Yeah, it's like a I don't know, maybe like a village starting to come into my apartment here. So it's getting crazy.
We have a little bit of different experience, though. Everybody in Israel speaks Hebrew. We try, and I think do very well speaking with our daughter English, so she will have that language when she grows up.
Great.
So next to family, we be more in Hebrew, but when we're at home, we're almost always English with her. I hope it's going to work. It's going to take 3 or 4 years to know, but I hope that she'll have good English because of that.
Great. Yeah, it's a long-term investment, right? But it's one of the best investments we can make.
Yeah, education, definitely. I have a very exciting week next week because there are really major events coming up at the next week, and all of them are related to innovation, China, Israel. So there is one event called China Israel Investment Summit, and this is happening at the beginning of the week. It's going to be a pretty large summit of investors. There are many, many delegations coming from China, I think more than 1,000 people. So that's going to be a major thing, and that's government supported. And a few, I think the beginning of the year, there was another one in Beijing, and this is the second one now in Tel Aviv. Right afterwards, there is, and this is a yearly event happening, DLD Innovation Festival. And this one is organized in Tel Aviv, and there are events all around town for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 days. Like, you can go everywhere and have, it's kind of a startup festival. And again, many delegations from many countries. I just looked at the list of delegations. It's overwhelming. There are so, so many of those. And the last one, which I'm going to be at DLD, and I'm also going to be in another event called China-Israel Policy Conference. And this one is happening also towards the end of the week. So it's a pretty busy week. I'm not sure I can attend everything, but I'll try to attend obviously the most interesting stuff.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds action-packed. I think we're both excited to say we have a review, right? So we got a 5-star review on iTunes. We should read it off, huh? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so we got a review from Tseng Hom. Tseng Hom is actually a member of our WeChat group, which we're very glad to have, and actually substantially grown in the last few weeks. So guys, join in. We're going to add the QR code to the show notes, and also you can add me as your contact, and then I'll add you to the group. My ID is Shlomo F, that's Shlomof, and you can add me, and I'll add you to the group right afterwards, or just scan the QR code from ChinaBusinessCast.com, episode number 47. Now to the review. So Tseng Hom says, great work, even for Chinese natives, 5 stars. The hosts have made a lot of effort to help understand what's happening in China, insightful and entertaining. As a native, by listening to this cast, I can also obtain alternative views of making domestic business overseas. So thank you, Tseng Hom, for this. And as Mike said, we encourage you guys to leave us reviews. It helps us to promote the show and help more people find it. So please do.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. All right. And that was, you know, always motivational. So please, it's just a few minutes to go to iTunes or even Stitcher and other places. Shlomo already announced our WeChat group, so definitely check out the show notes on ChinaBusinessCast.com. And Also, you are discussing having Periscope running again. I know you were doing that for some of our interviews when we had them. And it seems like from the WeChat group, people like that idea. So we're going to be starting that up again. So exciting.
Definitely. All right. Yes. Definitely. I'm also going to give the link there, the show notes. But if you want to do it without going into the website, then you need to go to download Periscope, obviously, and then add me. That's Startup Noodle. That's my username. Add that and follow us on the interviews and ask questions. That's the whole interactive.
All right. And now we have our coming up for our interview, Swan Huang. So she's a native Chinese from South China, Guangdong province. I've known her for quite a few years personally, and I know she's been working so hard for years now to help foreigners in the Chinese market with language and kind of like living. And so we're going to kind of give her story and talk about her startup Ringy, which is pretty exciting. And I unfortunately couldn't have Shlomo with me. This was done in person in Shenzhen, but Shlomo has also got some on his own, and we're going to, I think in the future, try to do more shows like that, right? Where we can cover more people and get more people on the show.
Get more content for you guys.
All right. Thank you. Let's go. Let's tune into Swan. All right. So thank you everybody for tuning into another podcast. And we are in Shenzhen, China with Swan Huang.
Yes, Swan Huang. You pronounce it correctly. Don't worry.
Great. My Chinese is getting better. I told everybody. So we are in her office, conference room.
Yeah, it's kind of like a co-working space. But I like the place here. It's very clean, neat, quiet.
And you're definitely from Guangdong, not from Shenzhen, but you've been here for such a long time. Maybe share your story of where you're from and how you came to Shenzhen.
So I'm not a local from Shenzhen. I came to Shenzhen 5 years ago. Originally, I was from Shantou. I'm from Shantou, like a small city by the sea.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to sound dumb here, but it is Chaozhou also Shantou or near? Is Chaozhou Ren?
Yeah, it's not far away. Like Chaozhou is just this big area, and Shantou is like one of the city, you know, in Chaozhou. So basically, if you hear people are from Shantou, that means they are Chaozhou. And Chaozhou, because there are a lot more cities that make up to Chaozhou. And usually we'll hear people just say that I'm from Chaozhou.
Okay. They're good business people.
They are. Like if you go to Huachangbei, like you hear people speaking my dialect everywhere. Cool.
Some fun facts for the show. And how did you come down to Shenzhen?
I was actually crazy about Western culture since middle school. So I had this great alumni sister who at the time came to Shenzhen quite a lot. She actually was the one who told me how international that the city was. So I had made up my mind to come here long before I graduate.
Awesome. Yeah, this is a pretty special place. And your English is really amazing. People probably can't even tell you're Chinese if they're listening because there's no, it's just audio here. So how did you get such great English? Was it school or American movies or culture?
At the beginning, I got really into Avril Lavigne. You know Avril Lavigne?
Yep.
Yeah, the singer. When I was a teenager, and I basically learned all of her songs. After that, I was in a school band singing all the rock and roll hits and became a English language singer in a couple of local Western bars. So that helped my listening and pronunciation a lot. Then when American television became popular, I was staying home watching Prison Break over and over just to absorb the cool language they speak in the show. So no, I didn't learn it in school, but from music and television show, yes.
Very cool. Very cool. And you get the slang too on all that fun words.
Yeah, from Prison Break. So so you know what kind of language I speak.
Michael Schofield. I remember when I first came to Shenzhen in 2007, Prison Break was like the most famous TV show.
Yeah. And that's actually, I think it's the first American television show that is popular in China. And ever since that, it opens this time and like this new thing that, people now in America are paying more attention into making shows that, you know, are globally accepting.
Very cool. So we're going to get into what you're working on little bit later, but you're very passionate about helping foreigners here, you know, get settled into China and have a smooth landing, and it kind of connect to your startup Ringy. Mm-hmm. But before we kind of go into the business side, you know, let's talk about some of the pitfalls you see foreigners making when they just come to China.
I would say not having cash, underestimating the language barriers, party too hard, indulge yourself in greasy food and ruin it bigger. No, I'm just kidding. I think the most common pitfall, it would be most of the people are not mentally prepared enough. To be honest, I don't think anybody coming outside from China can be mentally prepared enough for China.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, I think for all of us, it takes us a little bit of time, and then either you go crazy and leave or somehow you adapt to staying here.
Yeah. Because Westerners are so used to things that are not normal here. But it is what China has to offer. So it might seem backwards for some, but it is the majority of what 1.7 billion people are living today. So until you really accept this, you won't feel comfortable here.
Yep. Yeah, we can't change China or TIC. This is China. And so about your business, so Ringy, maybe quickly explain what it is and what you've been working on for. I know you've worked so hard on it.
It's a platform, and right now we are a WeChat account. People could follow our WeChat account and then message us any questions they have, like, you know, like for translation or any requests like translation or anything they run into, you know, caused by language barriers.
Awesome. And
so, we have like a group of volunteer interpreters to help them and answer the question, you know, mobily on their phone. So it's not like we have a bunch of people sitting in front of the computers. They're actually like on their phone as well. So whenever there is a request, they were able to answer it on their phone.
Yeah. So that's the cool part. I think that maybe is a little bit different than maybe some other services is you guys are, yeah, like totally like grassroots. People are volunteering. They want to kind of help foreigners or get some experience working with foreigners. And it's been building up, and I've been watching your progress, and I'm really proud of what you've gotten so far. And I'm excited.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. And so you've, of course, now get to even scale up. You're helping foreigners more by having this platform, and you're seeing kind of common questions, I'm sure, that your interpreters mm-hmm. are getting. What is normally people like having questions about?
We started as a platform to connect aspects with warm-hearted bilinguals here and have this one group help another to communicate with the locals, you know, to increase the communication between two and to help them understand some signs and labels in Chinese. But half of our requests are more about like sourcing related. So they would ask us, where did I get a job? Where do I find a maid? How to go somewhere? Where to fix my motorbikes, et cetera, every day. So things are just fingertips away from us, you know, because we can search online are huge problems from our users. So we're definitely getting like a lot of question, you know, that is like information and sourcing related, you know, instead of just what we started thinking that, oh, we want to help people with translation and that's what people need. But when you really started, you found that people actually need more than that.
Cool. That's very interesting. And there's definitely stories. I know you have your interpreters that are really having a lot of fun almost, and they're volunteering, and you didn't really mention, but it's totally free. Your app is free for everybody.
Yeah.
And
well, we are using a volunteer, you know, interpreters. We can't really charge people, you know, as a platform. So we're currently like, you know, free service to people, and our volunteers are really cool. Like there are some of them really go out of their way to help users. You know, they would order food in the middle of the night for our user and spending hours finding the right Chinese name of a picture that a user showed and help to figure out like why their internet is not working. You know, so it's like they've been trying to do a lot more than originally when they signed up what we told them to do.
Yeah, you guys are spoiling the newcomers. I was here. You guys didn't exist, and I had to like have all my headaches by myself. But it's really amazing. And so any more stories? I'm sure there's plenty we could... You mentioned once to me you can be the BuzzFeed of China with all these crazy stories that your interpreters and you are
facing. We got a lot of interesting questions. We got good ones every day. We get good ones every day. There were one time a user, you know, like you took a picture of Deng Xiaoping on the billboard on the main road in Luohu, Shenzhen, and asked who that was. And our interpreters were so thrilled to explain to him that that is not a movie star. It's actually a great former leader of China who presented the open economic policy in the 1970s. That's why, you know, Shenzhen is Shenzhen now. And some of them would ask us some pop netizen faces, you know, that I've never even heard about it myself. And even like this morning, there was someone was asking about this face is called Nan You Li Max. Have you heard?
No.
Yeah, I never heard of it like Nan You Li Max. And I didn't know what that is, but then our interpreter was telling him that it means someone who has a very high potential and like the maximum number of good characteristic of a good boyfriend. So if someone say you're a Nan You Li Max, that means they're flattering you as like you could be a good boyfriend.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, because the internet in China, right, the netizen, you know, is a huge population and they come up with new words every day. And even I can keep it up, you know, as a Chinese. And sometimes our users, we chance upon some new faces that they don't understand and they would just like ask us. And sometimes if we don't understand, we research it and then we find out ourselves and share it with them. But then the whole, you know, the ringing community, we would be like, oh, so this is it. Like, this is a new thing. Like, we don't know. Yeah, so it's definitely very interesting to know that. And the exciting things is our regular users sees us like friends more than just some stranger who helped them. So they would come to us for live and leaving advice sometimes, not just translation and information. And that really, I think that means a lot to us.
So let's talk about Ringy. How did you start this business? And I know you've been really working hard for a year, you know, quite a few years on this. So can you share your story?
The platform has been online just for 6 months. And I had this idea back in the days when I was working in Shekou 2 years ago. I saw expats struggling with what I saw as small everyday problems caused by not speaking the language and didn't know where to find people that could help them. The original idea was to have a hotline that connects with a team of English-speaking operator and charge a small fee based on the minutes. But then it is too complicated to set up a system like that. You remember I was at the startup weekends to present the idea and try to find people to set up a system, but it's way too complicated and people don't understand it. So I sort of put it on hold at the time. But I never gave up on an idea to help fix this problem. So eventually I was able to come up with a good mechanism and encourage a bunch of awesome Chinese people who saw the problem as well and to start providing free help to people. I would say along the way, this is all coming from people's good hearts. The young generation, they take pride in being helpful and receiving positive energy from people. And we definitely built a strong community for our volunteers to learn and grow as well. So far, it's been going pretty well. I'm very blessed with all the help I got.
Some follow-up question. I'm really impressed with the network of interpreters. And we talk about this when we meet, about how did they find you and why are they doing it?
We actually, I right now I put most of my energy on, you know, trying to explain to people about the platform and try to get a lot more user for the platform. Why? Because we have so many interpreters. Like I spend less than 5% of my energy to find interpreters and they just come to us and I don't even know how, like probably because while we were marketing to the foreigners, like they see, you know, little bits and little posts that we made for foreigners and they think, wow, like you guys are really trying to help people and they want to be part of it. You know, when you're doing the right thing, like people attract to you just like that, you know, unexpectedly. So definitely a lot of good people are out there. And they want to help. They want to do something good. They want to utilize their skills. Yeah.
Awesome. So I know you're trying to help the interpreters and having like meetups and get-togethers or other ways to add value. Maybe what are some of the goals you think that they have with with doing this interpreting?
Our interpreters right now, we have around like 60 of them out of this 6 month operation. I think that's pretty good. Given the facts that we didn't go out to look for people and try so hard. And they're sort of like spreading around the country. So it's like we got most of them from Shenzhen, and we've been doing actually events. We have one of them last month. It's called Social Game Nights. And I have some of our interpreters coming out. And we have some interpreters gathering and just to meet up. And the rest of them are sort of just like spreading out, like I said, spreading out, you know, in Shanghai or Beijing or Chengdu or other places like that. So we can really like get there together. But we do try to organize, you know, video chat together. Or actually, we talked every day in our group. And the things that we're sharing are, you know, language, you know, like some tips, you know, along the way that we figure out for our users. You know, we would share with each other. So next time someone was helping someone else with the same similar case, they could have used the experience. And also, I guess like really they're just looking for, you know, a way to contribute, you know, their time, to contribute their effort to increase the communication between the locals and the foreigners. And sometimes we do look through their cases and, you know, to find some grammar or some small mistakes they might make along the way and tell them that, oh, like, that's something you could be improving. And people like those as well. And they see it as something that they're gaining from the platform as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, they're just, I guess they also seem passionate, yeah, like to help people in China and help people have successful and good experiences.
Yeah, because I would say some of the Chinese people like really leave a bad impression when they're traveling around the world, you know, with all mm-hmm. of the, you know, the some of the bad behaviors.
We have stories.
And so as we say, we want to change what people look, you know, about like the young Chinese. You know, we're more open-minded, and we are more, I would say, I would not say educated, but we are definitely, because of the internet, we know like what is the right thing to do. And we definitely wanted to improve like how the world see China. You know, if they're having language barriers and like miscommunication everywhere, they probably, the Westerners probably would think less of China. And I think that's something that we wanted to improve.
Yeah, that's great vision or mission on your interpreter side. And so Ringy is a startup, and you know, we want to try to help startups on the show and everywhere. And what are you guys what are you most looking for these days, or how can listeners help you out?
We are currently definitely looking for investment. But besides that, we also need partners. And we currently have a part-time developer and a part-time designer, two founders and, you know, interpreters as admins. But we definitely need more people to join. So, and especially we want to develop our structure more and be really useful for expats all over the world in the future. So if anyone who is interested in joining the team, just contact me on my WeChat at swan434432. Swan, you know, as a bird. SWAN434432.
Okay, cool. That's great. And I think a lot of times foreigners feel like they can't help with startups in China because they're not Chinese, or, you know, they don't know Chinese language. But for you, you're definitely looking for more foreign
yeah, because entrepreneurs. Ringy is a very new concept, and people aren't really used to the idea of having someone mobily helping them for free. So definitely we need a lot of startup friends like you, you know, to help spread the word. And, you know, we are basically like all of our interpreters, we speak English, and we are more open to the Western culture. And
very cool. We'll have to have a big party soon with all your interpreters and make a video or put on audio for here for the podcast listeners. And I think everyone listening, you know, it's obviously English podcast, and they probably need a real-time translator to help them out, and they should definitely check out your free service, which is amazing. It's totally free. But I know that people WeChat is simple at a certain level for chatting with people, but then when it gets to these apps and, mm-hmm. and official accounts, so I kind of want to spend a little bit of time at the end, or I could help too as a foreigner, but people sometimes have trouble, I think, using these official accounts. And they're, so basically the way it would work is they'd follow your account, or maybe you can first start and I can try.
Yeah, so they follow the account, and first of all, they would see a menu. You know, the menu is just sort of like a guideline and sort of thing. It's kind of like app, like there are different buttons, and if you tap the buttons, there would be things, other menus coming up, you know, telling you, oh, you could do this and that. So basically we have a button for some guideline, and we have a button called serviced, which is a newly beta testing thing that I'm trying out, because like I said, interpreters, they're willing to help out. Yeah, so of course, but most of the time they spend too much time almost on the service wise, and they feel bad not to help, because it is problems that causing by the language barriers. But sometimes if you really have to answer all of the service, it's taking people a lot of time, mm-hmm. and it's definitely a lot of time apart from their daytime job. So right now I'm testing, beta testing this service column that people could actually apply. If you have a translation or an interpretation like question, you could send it up and then we will answer right away. But if you want us to resource something for you that takes longer time, you know, find your IE or like make like arrangement according to your request, that definitely takes more time, and we would be charging a small fee on that. But it's completely like to the interpreters themselves, sure. And whoever who has time can take it. So it's sort of like trying to take control of people. Some people abuse the service, I would say. They basically, sometimes I see them, like some of the users, like they could have figured out it themselves, but they just want to, you know, have the convenience, like having a personal assistant just to ask any question. Mm-hmm. And I sort of want to, you know, put, you know, a control on those requests. So right now, like requests like that, like if you really need help, you really think that you need someone to do that for you, then you have to pay a small fee. Okay. So I do it. I put it in the bottom of the service. And then there is another button for, you know, like our articles and stuff like that, that people could get to understand, like, what are we trying to do, and like some useful tips for living in China. And then after you tap around, have enough fun with the menu, you could go to this little button on the left, and you could tap it to trigger the keyboard, and you could start to text us, just like texting a friend. Like basically, you could say hi, say how are you, say good morning, and then just say whatever you need help with. Like, I need to understand, what does this label mean? I need to understand this dumpling is, you know, is it with pork or is it with beef? You know, like, yeah, I could ask us anything, and then we'll try to help.
Yeah.
As much as we can.
I think that last part is where people get confused, because yeah, you follow the account. It's Ringy, R-I-N-G-Y 001.
It's Ringy Ringy. So you in WeChat, you search R-I-N-G-Y, R-I-N-G-Y, no space, Ringy Ringy, and then you found an account. You follow it. And then when you follow it and you got enter the account, you first see a menu. And that's most of the people, like they got confused. That's, they see the menu confused. And they're like, so where, how do I talk to you?
I think I want to explain.
Yeah, so the button on the left, mm-hmm. the bottom left button, yeah. You tap it, then there would be a keyboard.
Then it's like you're normally chatting to a friend, except yes. You're chatting to this network
yeah.
of interpreters, of yeah. these volunteers. And then that's where the power happens. So I think I've noticed people get confused right at that point. So mm-hmm. the trick is follow the account, and I'm like a friend, and then click on the bottom left, the keypad, and then you can just type. Mm-hmm. And then it will, you have a system where it goes to different interpreters, and then mm-hmm. the one that has time or is available that time can then answer and help
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, it's pretty simple, and I think you guys should at least give it a try and give Swan some feedback or other ways to help out her startup. And then we're actually going to be in Shanghai.
Yes.
So there's a conference for WeChat conference that is going to be pretty amazing. So maybe you can find Swan up there.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Okay, cool. So thanks, Swan, for coming on. And
thanks for having me.
Great. Cheers.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry. China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.